in the earlier service, before John had said who I was going to come up and say that I was the Pastor Exchange Program from Honduras, and that's why John was there and I was coming here. But I'm glad that John told you where I was actually from. So, right now while I was sitting here, I was sitting over there singing, and I've realized that I can't read the music and clap at the same time, because I have to focus on one or the other. If I can watch the drummer, I can clap correctly, or if I look at the words, I can sing. And so that's one of the things I miss about Jonathan being here, because he's usually here in front, leading us all in the right rhythm to clap. And so last night I was at church, and I started clapping, and John tells me I was on 1 and 3, and that's how unmusical I am. I didn't know what that actually meant, but I had our entire congregation clapping on the wrong beat. And so now I sit off to the side where nobody can see me clap or sing. But it's just a blessing to be here, and thank you all for being here, spending your spring break with us. A few weeks ago, I officiated a wedding for a couple of members of our church, two young people, and it was all in Spanish. And so at the beginning of the ceremony, I actually started the ceremony with telling them that my Spanish isn't great, isn't the best. But then I also said, neither is my English. So I'm kind of a man with two secondary languages and not really one primary language, unless you count sarcasm. And so that I do really well. Proof of this is about 6 months ago I was here preaching, for those of you who remember, and I was talking about Jonah and people slapping each other. And I kept saying fishes, slapping each other with fishes. And I kept saying fishes and fishes. And through all three services, I kept using that term. And then I get home and my son tells me, he says, you know, it's not fishes, it's fish. It's single. Or even if there's more than one, it's still fish. And so I'm sitting there eating lunch and he tells me this. And I'm thinking, you know, you could have told me, like after the first service, after the second service, you could have given me hand signals, but no. He allowed me to go through three services saying fishes, and nobody else told me either, actually, now that I think about it. Nobody else tried to correct me. Thank you for that. But in the world, when you're talking about somebody who's got issues, and you'd say, well, you know, he's really nice. And so in the Christian world, what we should say is, well, he really loves Jesus. And so that's what we'll say. So one of the things I thought about was... for today was, how would you like it if somebody followed you around in your first few years of knowing Christ and was writing down the things that you would say or do and would actually put them in a book for others to read? And I can tell you that my first few years, and actually the last over 30 years, I've said a lot of dumb things and done a lot of dumb things, what I thought was in the name of Christ. And so that probably wouldn't go very well, right? We make lots of mistakes, lots of errors. But the apostles didn't have a say in this. Peter and all the other disciples, they kind of went around. You know, they were new to Jesus. They were new to, we've been in it for a long time, but they were new to this world of faith, and they really didn't get it. And so as they were walking, they kept making mistakes, and Peter kept saying these dumb things. And so Melba was asking me Tuesday what to call our sermon. And I had always been in my mind calling it Poor Peter, but I couldn't think of a name. And so finally I said, Poor Peter. Because what I wanted to talk about today was all the things that Peter said, all the mistakes and you could say dumb things that he would say are great for us because they're lessons for our life. And so the things that we do and say and the errors that we make, we should help each other and use those things to help each other learn and grow. And so that's what this sermon's about. So the apostles, they had to walk around. They were new to Christ. They made lots of errors. And God inspired them to write all those errors down. Not just to make fun of them, but really, actually not to make fun of them, but really for our benefit, to grow us. Because we, in our walk with Christ, have made so many errors. I do it all the time. If my wife was here, I would tell you to ask her if I still say dumb things and do dumb things, and she would say yes. But it's what we do. And so it's a good thing that God asked that those things be written down, because now we can learn from them. So Peter had a lot of bad press. He got a lot of things written that he had done. He went on to be this great apostle. But his walk in that first time, he struggled. And so that's why I want to focus today, but not about his mistake. We could look at each other's mistakes and say, you know, why are you doing that? Or we could learn from them. And so I want to try and learn from what Peter did, so for our own lives. And we'll start with Matthew 16, verse 21 through 23. So Matthew 16, 21 through 23. And just so you know, right before this verse, it was the place where Jesus was asking, who do you say that I am? Or who do people say that I am? And then they had the conversation about the rock. And we all know that the rock of our salvation is Jesus Christ. He is our rock. And he's the one we put all our faith in. And so right after that, he begins in verse 21 through 23, he says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. And so you think, well, wow, that was pretty harsh. He didn't really think that Peter was Satan. He loved Peter. Peter was one of the disciples who was with him throughout. But what he was talking about was the things that Peter was thinking about. They were things of the world. They were our worldly thoughts and not our kingdom thoughts. Our kingdom thoughts are focused on God. And so one of the things that we should remember is that Jesus came to save us, not for us to save him. Peter was thinking that he could save Jesus, that he could rescue him from this terrible fate. But that's not why Jesus came. Jesus came for that purpose. He came to die for us. He came to die for us to save us. And so it's not our job to save him. He's the king of the universe. He doesn't need us to save him. So a lot of times we get hung up in arguing about God. If people will speak badly of our God, we want to defend him. But that's not why he called us. That's not what we're called to do. What we're called to do is share his love, share his gospel, share his peace, and tell people about the great things that Jesus has done in our lives. You're not going to win anybody over by arguing with him about God. You're not going to do any great service for God. He's not looking for you to save him. All he's looking for you to do is spread his love to others. That's it. And so focus on that. Focus on how we can instead talk about all the great things that God is to us, all the love that God has bestowed upon us, and the grace that he's found in us. Tell him who God is and who you believe him to be, and that's the thing that will bring people to Jesus. The next one is from Mark. And believe me, Jesus loved Peter. Called him Satan out, but he was really just trying to give us something. It's great that he wrote that down because it's for us. It's for our purpose. If it wasn't for our purpose, it wouldn't be written. And so in Mark, in the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 1 through 6, and just so you know, in your little pamphlets, I didn't have the full verse. It needs to go through verse 6 on the board. We have it now, but it's Mark chapter 9, verse 1 through 6. And this is what it says. It says, and he said to them, assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. How many times do we say things when we're a little nervous or a little afraid? How many times do we say things that just don't make any sense? It just comes out. Well, certainly he didn't really mean to exalt Moses and Elijah. That wouldn't have been, had he thought it through and he wasn't so afraid, he would not have thought to build them a tabernacle. But that's what he said. And luckily God puts it, or blessedly God puts it on there for us to say, he said it because he was afraid. And so there are many times when in our nervousness or our haste, we will say things that really don't make a lot of sense. Good thing God loves us, right? So the point of this one I saw, and I think God was telling me, was be careful who you exalt, because the only one worthy is Jesus. He's the only one worthy of our esteem. He's the only one worthy of our exaltation. He's the only one worthy of lifting up. The rest of us, just servants. We're just servants trying to serve a great God and trying to serve him the best that we can. And so the ask is, don't put too much into people. Put all your faith in God, and the rest of us can work together. We all really just want to serve him, and we want to serve him with love and faithfulness, but we're just humans trying to serve a great God. So look to Jesus. He's the one that we raise up. The great thing about God is his free gift of salvation. Nowhere else in the world are you given anything without having been made worthy of it or having been worthy of it. To get into a good school, you need to be worthy. You need to have good grades. You need to have done a whole bunch of extracurricular activities and all these things. That's the only way to get into a good school these days. You have to be worthy. To get a good job, had to be worthy. Have experience. Have a great college on your resume. Have all of these things. And so in the world, we always have to be worthy. But our God's not like that. He loves us regardless, unconditionally. And it's the only place where we can find that type of love, that unconditional love. And it's a good thing because we make lots of mistakes. It's a good thing because we make lots of errors. But if we continue to focus on Jesus and continue to try and serve him, it'll all work out in the end. It's a good thing he doesn't look at things the way we do. So the next verse I'm going to show you is a little harsh, and so I thought I'd tell you a little story first. And before I tell it, if the person is here, the people are here that the story is about, I apologize. But about 6 months ago, I was preaching here, and I had told John's already laughing. I told everybody that I had problems with time management, that I could just keep talking about Jesus and going on and on, and I still do, so I'm having to have something to remind me to stop at some point. But I told everybody that in the first two services that when John came up to sing, that would be my cue to stop, and then the next service would start. Well, in the third service, in this service, I was starting to tell the same story, and I was thinking, oh, that joke's not going to work. That's really not going to work for this one. So I said, okay, when y'all have heard enough about Jesus, y'all can just go. You get your fill of Jesus, just feel free to leave. Just get up and go. So I'm standing here talking, and not 5 minutes in, two people get up and leave. And I'm trying not to look. I'm trying not to make any eye contact or draw anybody to look at them. But inside, I was thinking, it was just a joke. I didn't really mean for you to leave. Please stay. But what I said was, when you get your fill of Jesus, you may go. So I was thinking, well, maybe they had some Jesus on the way in. Maybe they were listening to a sermon. They were done. I'm full. I'm full of the Spirit. I'm ready to go tackle the world. So we'll go with that. This next verse is Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 through 16. Galatians 2, 11 through 16. And this is Paul writing about it in a letter to the Galatians, but it actually is recorded. The actual events of what he's talking about here are recorded in the book of Acts. So if you ever wanted to look at how it actually transpired, you could see it there. But here in Galatians, he's telling the Galatians what happened, and it's a lesson for them. And so it says, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face. So I'm a King James guy, so withstood means I got in his face. So I got in Peter's face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him. So that even Barnabas, his great partner, right? So that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So it's kind of harsh. Have you ever been somebody getting your face when you were wrong, and you know that you're wrong? So Peter knew he was wrong. He had been acting inappropriately. He had been living under the law when he was supposed to be living under faith. But have you ever had somebody come to you and you knew in your heart that you were wrong, and they got right in your face and told you you were wrong, and the shame of it all, right? But this is what's happening. Paul's right in Peter's face, and he's basically telling him, why are you making people live under the law? Why are you putting heavy burdens upon other people? Why are you looking down upon others who are living by faith, who are living through the love and the freedom that is in Jesus Christ? Like the song we were singing earlier, there's freedom in Jesus Christ to live through love. There's freedom in Jesus. He didn't come so that we could work our way to heaven. He didn't come so that we could earn our way to heaven. He came to give us a free gift that is just full of love and grace. So it's not our job to place heavy burdens upon each other or look upon each other with judgment. It's our job to love each other. It's not really a job. It's just what we should do. It should just emit from us. As God loved us, we love each other. And so the point is, even within our families, don't put heavy burdens upon them. Love them. And through that love of God, they'll fix their way. They'll go down the right path. Show them the love of God first. And don't put these heavy burdens upon each other. In the first service, I told one story. In the second service, I told a second story. I don't know what I'm going to tell you right now. Whatever just comes out. But so I had a friend from here. One day I saw him at HEB. And he was buying a bottle of wine. And I don't like wine just because I don't like the taste of it. But I went up to him there and I told him, I said, you know what? I'm so glad that you feel that you have freedom to be here at HEB buying a bottle of wine. I'm sure you're going to drink it with your dinner, just as Scripture tells us is a good thing. And that we have freedom to be able to do those things and to not look at each other with judgment. That was great. But how many times are we looking at each other with judgment? And how many times do we put burdens upon other people that there's no way that we could live up to? Well, that's what Peter was doing. I mean, he was a great apostle, and he was doing it. So all of us are going to fall into these traps. I fall into it with my own son. All of us fall into these traps. But what we have to do is try and seek God first and seek his love and preach his freedom that he's given us. He didn't die for us to create a religion. He didn't die for us to build up all these traditions and all of this judgment upon each other or all these burdens. He died to free us of everything and so that today we can be free. So don't hold people up to these high standards. Show them love first. They'll find their way. I did. My parents, they didn't necessarily force Christ on us. But they showed Christ in the way they acted. My father was very big into discipline. He was a soldier, and so he was very disciplinarian with us. See, there goes my bad English, right, Mister? but what he did show was a love of God, and that I learned just through seeing him. And so, it wasn't what he said; it was how he lived and the love that they showed us. So we're not here for a religion. We're just here for a relationship with our Father who's in heaven, who loves us, who just wants the best for us. I want the best for my son. Each of you want the best for your children. That's what God wants, just love. You remember when I didn't put this verse down, but when the Pharisees, they were complaining about the disciples, and they were always trying to use the disciples against Jesus and trying to complain about them and show how Jesus was wrong. And they were always trying to trip him up in these traps. And so the disciples had gone to eat. They hadn't washed their hands, and they just started eating. And the Pharisees came up to Jesus and said, I don't know the word for word, but basically, look at your disciples. They don't wash their hands before they eat. And he knew what they were doing, and his response was simply, it is not that which goes into a man's mouth that defiles him. It is what proceeds out of his mouth that defiles a man or a person. It's not the food that we eat. It's the words that we speak and the tone that we speak it and the judgment that comes out of our mouths. That's what defiles a man. What should proceed out of your mouth is love. And if we want to emit love and show love, have words of love come out of your mouth. Be supportive. You could still tell people, you know, areas where we think that, you know, that they need some work, but do it out of love. If you do it out of love, it's going to be received a lot better than if you do it out of judgment. So, I think this is the last verse. In Matthew 26, verse 57 through 59, Matthew 26, 57 through 59. This is the last thing I had about learning from Peter and Peter's walk. And it says, and those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard. And he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. When I read this, generally when we read about Peter and how he denied Christ three times, and we all know that story where Peter denied him, what we can see that would actually is a lesson for us is that Peter was walking from a distance and following Christ from a distance. And although we can always look at Peter and say, well, look at him, he was walking so far away from Jesus. But how many of us in our life with Christ are walking at a safe distance from him as well? This is not just physically safe, it is spiritually safe. How many of us are walking with Christ at a safe enough distance where nobody associates us with Christ? Nobody says, hey, look, there's that guy who's with Jesus. How many of us in our daily walk are walking so far away from Christ that we can see him, but not necessarily anybody else can see that we're with him? There's a big gap sometimes. I know that I had it in my life. In my life, when I grew up, like I said, it took me a while to come around. But I always studied the Bible. I always wanted to learn more. But I was doing it for my own self-benefit. I wasn't really doing it to help anybody else. I used to study the scriptures a lot. I would write out genealogies. I would try and figure out Genesis. I would try and figure out who all is related in Genesis, because I would read something and I was saying, well, who is he? And so I spent a lot of time before the internet. This is how old we are, right? Before the internet, I would actually write out all the genealogies from Genesis and map them. And I had this real fancy way of doing it. And then, of course, the internet came about and all that was for naught, because it was so much easier and probably more accurate than what I had done. But I did all of that for myself. I was really just trying to learn more, and I wanted to know more. But I wasn't doing it to share with other people. At some point, the light turned on, and I started sharing. And it was a good thing that God had prepared me all that time. But what I was doing, I was following Jesus from a safe distance. My friends probably didn't even know that I would do those things. I was a young man learning about God at home. And it was doubtful that anybody around me had any clue that I was with him. Now, I try and walk side by side with him. I'm his servant, and I want to walk with him. Or maybe even just a little bit behind him. But not at a long distance, right? So, to serve him, what we really need is to follow him closely. You don't have to be up here preaching. Be out there in the world telling somebody about Jesus. That's following Jesus. What this is about is giving you words to help you through your week to get us started. This is really just the beginning of our relationship this week with Christ. Today is just the pep rally. Hey, everybody, let's go talk about Jesus, and then we go out and do it. what this is. But close that gap. Peter eventually closed the gap, right? He became this great apostle. Eventually, he traveled the world preaching Jesus. Brought, I don't know how many people to Christ. But that's who he became after he closed that distance. So break that gap that you have, or close that gap that you have where you're at a safe distance from Jesus. Make sure that everybody around you knows that you're with him. Everybody around you should say, that person's with Jesus. I know it. I can just see it. So here were a few things that came from the apostles, from Peter specifically, that we can learn from. Here are just a few things that can be lessons for our lives and lessons for each one of us to take. But there's lessons in our own lives too. The things that I've done, I'm trying to share as many as I can to help, you know, others realize that they're either in the same boat that I am, or they're headed to the same boat that I went through, so that they can possibly learn from my mistakes. I'm not embarrassed to talk about the silly things that I do anymore. And so if it can benefit one person, that's great. I'll keep sharing silliness. So I'm gonna tell you a story. When my wife Romanita, and I were first dating, and I can tell you that within about 2 weeks, God had told me that I was going to marry her. And so we were dating, and I was taking her around, and sometimes I would just go out and visit my family because I wanted them to meet her. And so we were visiting one of my uncles, and we were at his house, and he had one of those single driveways, and so his car was parked behind my truck. And so I didn't want him to have to get out. It was later in the evening. And so I said, give me your keys and I'll move your car. So what I did was I put my wife in the truck, turned it on, put the air conditioning on. I moved my uncle's car. And so then a little bit later, I'm driving out of the neighborhood and I reached the highway. And I'm reaching the highway, and this is, you know, quite a few miles away. And I'm sitting there at the light getting ready to turn on the highway. And I'm thinking, am I going east or am I going west? And I couldn't remember. And then I started looking around, and I realized, what am I doing in my uncle's car? And I'm thinking, why am I in my uncle's car? No wonder I don't know where I'm going. I'm in the wrong car. This was like 10 minutes later. So I have to turn around, and I have to go explain to my wife, the lady who would become my wife, why I drove off and left her. And it really was funny. When I got there, I raced back. I drove so fast. I raced back, and I got there, and she was still sitting in the truck. Air conditioning was running. She didn't go in to make a phone call. We didn't have cell phones at the time, but she didn't go in to, like, figure out where the knucklehead had gone or to tell my uncle. My uncle probably had no idea that she was still sitting in his front, in his driveway. But I get there, and I park my uncle's car, and I get in, and she says, well, I saw you driving away, but I really didn't know where you were going or why you were doing that. So I just thought you'd come back at some point, and I did. The good thing is she still married me. 20 years later, I told that story this morning, and she was here this morning. And she hadn't heard me tell anybody that story. And then she heard it for the first time in many years this morning. And I kept looking over, and she still was smiling. So I'm sure when I get home, everything will be fine. But this is just one of those things that we do, those dumb things that we do that we could share. I don't know the lesson in that, but if actually somebody in earlier in the second service told me, I know the lesson in your dumbness. It is that sometimes when we accept Christ, we head out and start going forward, but we forget him in the back. We forget to figure out what's really important. And so he told me, maybe you could use that as part of your story, as the lesson in there. If you have a better one, just let me know. So my suggestion is this. In Scripture or in your life, the mistakes that you make, or the mistakes that the apostles made, or the mistakes that people around you have made, don't just sit there and use them as judgment material. Use them as lesson material. Use them to enrich your lives. Use them to enrich others' lives. Use them to help other people grow in the Lord and help other people grow in their walk. Every mistake is done for a reason. Every mistake that was written into Scripture, not that Scripture is a mistake, but the things that people did in Scripture, all the mistakes that they made, God ensured that they were written. He inspired them to be written. And the reason is for our own growth, for our own benefit. So we are free in Christ to make mistakes and to share them with others, because others are making many of the same mistakes. If we would be free to speak about them, I don't know if anybody else left their wife while driving away, but if anybody else did, that would be great. But all the mistakes that we make, other people are making them too. Maybe just not that one. So find those mistakes, share them. It's part of your testimony. It's who you are. And it can help somebody else. All right? So that's really all I had to talk about today. So I'm going to lead us in prayer, and I just thank you for your patience with me and putting up with me. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, this glorious day that you gave us. The sun is still shining bright. I just thank you for that. I thank you for your son who you sent to the cross. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for his blood. Thank you that you sent your son to die for us. I thank you for the freedom that there is in him, that the freedom that there is in living for him, the love that you've bestowed upon us. I just thank you for your grace. Thank you for just being there for us, helping us through our trials and tribulations. Thank you for allowing us to suffer through things. Thank you because we know that you're still working on us. In all of our trials, we know that anything that we go through, it's because you're still working on us and you still want to improve us and still want to benefit our life. Just thank you, Lord. I ask that you be with those missionaries who are on their way to Honduras. They are going there to serve you and to glorify your name. Thank you for their hearts. I ask that you be with them so they can touch people through the light of Jesus. And just thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this place that we have to come together. And thank you for the message, and thank you for Peter. Thank you that you've given us so many examples of how to live our life in you. And I'm so grateful and honored and privileged to be your servant. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.